Jerusalem, a holy and contested city for the world's three great monotheistic religions, was the focus of Pope Benedict's activities on his second day in Israel, the second leg of his week-long pilgrimage to the Holy Land. The Pope began the day by visiting sites holy to Muslims, Jews and Christians in Jerusalem. My colleague Philippa Hitchin tells us more.
Interfaith dialogue and a commitment to bring peace in the Middle East was at the heart of Pope Benedict's meetings on Tuesday morning with Muslim, Jewish and Catholic leaders in Jerusalem. The Pope's first encounter was with the Grand Mufti Muhammad Ahmad Hussein and other Muslim leaders inside the Golden Dome of the Rock, the oldest Islamic monument in the Holy Land and the third most important shrine after Mecca and Medina. Built over a sacred stone believed to mark the place from which the Prophet Muhammad ascended into heaven, the site is also thought to be the place where many centuries earlier Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac. After removing his shoes and stepping inside to admire the stunning mosaics that adorn the walls of the shrine and the interior of the great dome, the Pope said in this place the paths of the three great monotheistic religions meet, reminding us what they share in common.
Each believes in one God, creator and ruler of all. Each recognizes Abraham as a forefather, a man of faith upon whom God bestowed a special blessing. Each has gained a large following throughout the centuries and inspired a rich spiritual, intellectual and cultural patrimony.
Pope Benedict said in a world sadly torn by divisions, this sacred place serves as a stimulus, challenging men and women of goodwill to work to overcome misunderstandings and conflicts of the past and pursue a new path of dialogue, free from hatred, anger or vengeance.
As Muslims and Christians, versus a respectful dialogue have already begun, I pray that they will explore how the oneness of God is inextricably tied to the unity of the human family.
From the Dome of the Rock, Pope Benedict then visited the nearby Western Wall, the holiest site for Jews who come from across the globe to pray at this place where the great temple once stood. Like his predecessor, John Paul II, the Pope then placed his own prayer in between the huge stones of the wall, a prayer for peace in the holy city of Jerusalem, for peace in the Middle East, and peace throughout the world. He then moved on to the headquarters of the Chief Rabbinate of Israel, where he was greeted by leaders of the different Jewish communities, and where he spoke of the value of trust as a crucial element of the dialogue between Christians and Jews.
May the dialogue that has begun continue to generate ideas on how Christians and Jews can work together to heighten society's appreciation of the distinctive contribution of our religious and ethical traditions. Here in Israel, given that Christians constitute only a small portion of the total population, they particularly value opportunities for dialogue with their Jewish neighbors. Trust is undeniably an essential element of effective dialogue. Today I have the opportunity to repeat that the Catholic Church is irrevocably committed to the path chosen at the Second Vatican Council for a genuine and lasting reconciliation between Christians and Jews. As the Declaration of the Trinity makes clear, the Church continues to value the spiritual patrimony common to Christians and Jews and desires an ever deeper mutual understanding and respect through biblical and theological studies as well as fraternal dialogues.
Regina Celi.
The Pope's final meeting of the morning was with local Catholic bishops and Franciscan friars, with whom he recited the Regina Caeli inside the upper room, where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, where he appeared to his followers after his resurrection, and where the Holy Spirit descended upon the first disciples at Pentecost. Here the Pope spoke of the vital role of the small Christian communities in Jerusalem and throughout the Middle East region.
I wish to repeat to them what I stated in my 2006 Christmas message to Catholics in the Middle East. I express with affection my personal closeness in this situation of human insecurity, daily suffering, fear and hope which you are living. I repeat to your communities the words of the Redeemer, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Finally, before giving his apostolic blessing, Pope Benedict urged as many pilgrims as possible to visit the Holy Land, and he appealed to all Christians to support and to pray for their brothers and sisters throughout this region, where Jesus carried out his earthly ministry. I'm Philippa Hitchin.
Sit nomen Domini benedictum.
Ex omnium et usque in saeculum.
Adiutorium nostrum in nomine Domini.
Qui fecit caelum et terra.
Benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius et Spiritus Sanctus.
Amen.
In the afternoon, Pope Benedict celebrated an open-air mass in the Josaphat Valley near Gethsemane, just outside the old city of Jerusalem. My colleague Charles Collins reports.
Thousands of people gathered in one of the holiest places in Jerusalem to be with Pope Benedict as he celebrated mass. The Kidron Valley, which lies between the Temple Mount and the Mount of Olives, is also known as the Josaphat Valley, or the valley where God will judge. It lies beneath the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed the night before his crucifixion. It was here that Pope Benedict gave a special message to the Christians of the Holy Land.
Standing before you today, I wish to acknowledge the difficulties, the frustration, and the pain and suffering which so many of you have endured as a result of the conflicts which have afflicted these lands and the bitter experiences of displacements which so many of your families have known and, God forbid, may yet know. I hope my presence here is a sign that you are not forgotten, that your persevering presence and witness are indeed precious in God's eyes.
Pope Benedict called Jerusalem a microcosm of our globalized world, with its different languages and religions. He said its walls are a symbol of God's provident care for the whole human family. Pope Benedict then again spoke directly to the Christians of the Holy Land, who at the beginning of the 20th century made up 20% of the population, but now only account for less than 3%. Over the past 100 years, most of the Christians of the Holy Land have emigrated to other countries.
While understandable reasons lead many, especially the young, to emigrate, this decision brings in its wake a great cultural and spiritual impoverishment to the city. Today, I wish to repeat what I have said on other occasions. In the Holy Land, there is room for everyone. As I urge the authorities to respect, to support, and to value the Christian presence here, I also wish to assure you of the solidarity, love, and support of the whole Church and of the Holy See.
The Pope reminded the Christians of the Holy Land of their special blessing, the ability to see the places made sacred by Christ's presence during his earthly ministry and his passion, death, and resurrection. They are given the opportunity to touch the historical realities which underlie the confession of faith in the Son of God. The Pope called on them to make present to others the gifts of grace, new beginnings, the freedom born of forgiveness, and the interior light and peace which can bring healing and hope to even the darkest of human realities. I'm Charles Collins.
Our correspondent travelling with the Pope's entourage in the Holy Land is Sean Patrick Lovett. This morning the Pope visited in turn holy sites for Muslims, Jews and Christians in Jerusalem. And Sean paints us a picture of this morning's events.
It was a very strong experience, Susie, because you go up to Temple Mount, it's early in the morning, the birds are still singing in the trees and the real heat of the day hasn't hit the place. And you come up onto this huge esplanade with these white stones and this extraordinarily beautiful building, this mosque with its golden roof. And you realize that all of this has been there for thousands and thousands of years and that it's so precious to so many people, precious to Muslims because of the mosque. They believe that this is where the Prophet Muhammad went up to heaven. Sacred to Jews because there's this extraordinary rock at the center of the mosque where they believe Abraham intended sacrificing his son Isaac. And because on the very stones you're standing on, Solomon's temple stood, and we believe that that's where Jesus stood and walked many times and predicted that this temple would collapse. And you look around and you feel the holiness and the sacredness of this place, and then you realize there's no one there. No one, not a soul. Only people in uniform carrying machine guns. And there seems to be this terrible contradiction that these holy, sacred places that were built in order to stress prayer and peace and man's relationship with God, you look around and you see a completely different message being communicated. So really, when the Pope arrived, this fragile figure dressed in white, coming into this place and speaking these words of peace and friendship and dialogue and reconciliation, using all these beautiful words, it's almost like a breath of fresh air because it makes that connection again. The reason why these places exist in the first place. It was a little disappointing, if I may say so, insofar as we went into the mosque. Yes, the Pope did take his shoes off, if that's what people want to know. Everybody, we all took our shoes off. In fact, there's a funny story involved with that, because we all took our shoes off, but we couldn't all find our shoes when we came out again, because someone had moved them. And so there were some very funny scenes of cardinals running around looking for their shoes outside the mosque. But when we got inside, of course, it's all about the rock. That's why it's called the Dome of the Rock, which is at the center of the building. And we didn't see the rock because the area at the center of the building is under restoration. So it was all covered with white sheets and scaffolding. And yes, that was a little disappointing.
I was speaking there to our correspondent in Jerusalem, Sean Patrick Lovett.